Sister Leslie made fun of me yesterday for not coming up with titles for my message, so I got one. I got a title for today, Truths of a New Testament Church. We're going to look at a few things, defining qualities, I don't know, whatever you want to say, but things that you can only find in a scriptural New Testament church. There are a lot of churches out in this world, and, you know, I have the audacity to say there is one true way of service to God. There is one true New Testament church, and it is the one that follows and is exactly what Jesus Christ set up on this church, on this earth. And to start with, so the first one you have to know is it is the true New Testament church starts with the one that Jesus built in Jerusalem. Turn to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. So understand, there is a scripture New Testament church. What is it? It is one that follows the pattern that God created and started with giving to Moses, that then passed on to the temple, and he started with his scripture New Testament church, that the church that Jesus built. If it does not tie back to the scripture New Testament church that Jesus built, it is not a scripture New Testament church. That is a very bold statement to say. It is what God laid out. And as if we're not going to go with what exactly God said, then what's the point? How can we say we serve God if we're going to do anything but what God says? Turn to Isaiah 40. So understand, the scriptural New Testament church, it started on the seashores of Galilee when Jesus called out the brethren and said, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Understand that before Jesus Christ was on this earth, he sent out one man, John the Baptist, to prepare a people. John the Baptist was called of God. Turn to Matthew chapter 3. We're not going to go read it in John, but it said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Matthew chapter 3, verse 3. Starting verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Jump over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 26, and John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I have said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me. For he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying that I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Understand, John was sent to prepare a people, to preach to them, for them to be saved and baptized, so that when Jesus Christ came on the scene and started his ministry, there is a people prepared to start a New Testament church. If, you know, understand, that was a one-time event that John was sent out directly by God. Since then, God has only worked through his scripture New Testament church. So if you come out here, if you have people coming out here and say, "Well, I was called of God to go start a church," and they've never been a church member, they are doing it on their own, just showed up one day and said, "I'm called of God." Understand, no, you are not. It is only done through a New Testament church. Turn to Isaiah chapter 9 real quickly. Then we'll go to Matthew 4. Isaiah chapter 9. Understand, the first New Testament church was started on the seashores of Galilee. There's a lot of ideas. Well, it started on this day. It started on the day of Pentecost. That one, you know, I know people come up with a lot of ideas. The one at the day of Pentecost, I'm sorry, that makes no sense to me. read the Bible and you'll see there is a church well before the day of Pentecost. You read the Bible, you'll see there is a church that was started when Jesus Christ started his church. Quick question, if Jesus Christ is the one that started the church, how can he do it when he's not on the earth at the day of Pentecost? Something to think about. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. So we see Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. It's a prophecy. It says, beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. Turn to Matthew. You know, you read that, you think, oh, it's just some random story, random prophecy about who knows what. Well, that's the great thing about the Bible. When you need to know what it's talking about, it'll explain what it needs to talk about. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. And when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region in the shadow of death, light has sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left their ship and their father and followed them. Understand, this is the start of a New Testament church. It was right here. Right then when Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You go read the prophecies. What was going to happen? A man was going to come and prepare the way. John the Baptist did that. He preached. Peter and Andrew and James and John and these individuals who he called out, they heard the preaching of John, were baptized. And when Jesus came across the sea shores of Galilee, he called them out, followed them. That is the start of a New Testament church. Every scriptural New Testament church has to tie back to this moment. If it does not, it is not a scriptural New Testament church, because this is the order that God set up. Understand, it's not, you know, we get accused of being a lot of things, you know, elitist, cultist, you know. Understand, everything that we believe, or let me phrase that, everything we should believe, preach, teach, and practice better come out of the Word of God. If it's not the Word of God, then I don't want to hear it. Jesus Christ is the one that said, my church will start on this day, and on this moment is where he started his church. That is not me saying this. That's not, you know, a bunch of Baptists or whatever saying, oh, this is what we, no, it is what the Bible says. If it's what the Bible says, why do we need anything else? Either this is the Word of God or it's not. Turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 18. And I say unto thee also, let me start that. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Understand, when Jesus Christ, he makes a promise there, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Understand, this church that Jesus Christ started, that pattern, that way of serving God, has been in the earth since the moment Jesus Christ started on started his church on the seashores of Galilee. Sorry about that. Understand, man may say, oh, well, it went out of existence. It had to be, no. I believe that God's word is true. And if he says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, you know what I know? The gates of hell did not prevail against it. That there are scriptural New Testament churches still today that have always been on this earth since Jesus Christ started it himself. You want to know why? Because Jesus Christ started it on himself. You read these, thou art Peter, and upon this rock. Understand, that rock is not Peter. That rock is not a man. That rock is Jesus Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 4, and did all drink that same spiritual drink, and they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. If that rock was anything but Jesus Christ, I would believe that the church would fail. But understand, nothing has been able to ever beat God, beat Jesus Christ. So if Jesus Christ stood up upon himself and said it's going to last, you can bet 100% that it will last as long as God wants it to last. Ephesians chapter 2, Verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. It all ties back to Jesus Christ and him starting it. So if he built it upon himself, understand, man has never been able to beat Jesus Christ. So if Jesus Christ said upon himself and said, it will never fail, you can believe 100% that there are Scripture New Testament churches still today that tie back to that church at Jerusalem. You want an example of one? Go this church right here. Go on our website, read it. There is literally names, all the churches that we came down leading from Jerusalem all the way to here. Understand, if there is one church in this earth that has ever... Even if there's only been one church on this earth that has been around, I believe there's been always more than one, but even if there's one left, hell did not beat the church of God. Jesus Christ is still stronger. Understand, there will be a New Testament church on this earth until Jesus Christ takes us out of here. Whether man says it's true or not, understand, you don't need the logic of man. You don't need the history of man. It's great to have the Baptist history that we have, and I like learning about that stuff and hearing it. Understand, you don't need that. You just need the word of God. And if Jesus Christ said it, it's true. So the Scripture New Testament church is one that ties back to Jesus Christ. Why? Because that is who he gave the Holy Spirit to as comforter. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. What makes a Scripture New Testament church a Scripture New Testament church? Well, you got to have this many people. You got to have this. You got to use specifically only this Bible. And you have to, no. The ultimate differentiation between a Scripture New Testament church and a not is, do you have the Holy Spirit as comforter? You know, there's a lot of false churches that use the King James Version Bible. There's a lot of churches that will preach and teach and practice the exact same thing that you do, but they do not have the Holy Spirit as comforter. Why? Because you have to tie back to that church of Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important to understand where the church started from, because you see here, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. Day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came on as comforter. Jump back to John chapter 16. You know, we're working a little bit backwards from here. John 16 is when the Holy Spirit became comforter to the New Testament church. Well, there was always a comforter before that. Who was it? Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Understand, turn to John, Matthew chapter 4. Sorry, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Understand that Jesus Christ, on the day of Pentecost, gave the church the Holy Spirit as comforter, and that has been what has made a Scriptural New Testament church ever since that moment. Understand, the Holy Spirit has not been poured out. Churches have not been baptized with the Holy Spirit since that day of Pentecost. It was a one-time event. So if it has a one-time event, and we know we have the Holy Spirit, guess what you got to have? Some connection to when it happened. I can't just magically appear to have something that I've never had before. Oftentimes, what do you have to do? It has to get passed down. That's called lineage. Lineage is a scriptural doctrine that has to be followed. You can have everything right. If you do not have lineage, I'm sorry, you do not have a Scripture New Testament church. Because you have to have the Holy Spirit as comforter. Turn to James. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. If your body does not have a spirit inside of it, it is a nothing. It's dead. It's a shell of something. It's not a full living thing. Understand, a church without the Holy Spirit as comforter is not a living church. There's been a lot of churches out here that might do everything right. If they do not have lineage, there's not a Scripture New Testament church. Well, that's just an idea that you guys came up with. It's not that big of a deal. It says in the Word of God, and I don't think, God's not the kind of God who just doesn't care about the big deals. Just, you know, it's just accidental, not that big of a, if he put it down in his Word, understand, it's important to him. So if he says to, you know, turn to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. So if he says there is a pattern and one way to do something, understand, there is one way to do something. There is not a whole lot of different ideas. There are a whole lot of different ideas. God has made one, and it has been the same one since the beginning of mankind. Understand, it might look a little bit different. Our church today does not look like the tabernacle. But the exact same pattern, the exact same thing that they did in the tabernacle is what we do here. Same with the temple. Why do you think you can go back and forth and look at them and see the church, New Testament church? Because it's the same pattern that God had. You know, beyond when the New Testament church is gone, we're in eternity. That city, New Jerusalem, guess what? Same exact pattern. Why? Because a bunch of guys got lucky. No, it's because God set up a pattern before the world began and passed it down each time to each generation. Acts 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he saith unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And when he said that, said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. That laying on of hands, you read in those verse 6 right there. What just happened there? The church at Ephesus got started. Well, you see here, a man, Paul, just got it together and decided to make a church. No, turn to Acts 13. Yeah. Acts 13. Verse 2, And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. That Saul right there, that is Paul. Change his name later. Understand, the church at Antioch sent out Barnabas and Paul by the leadership of the Holy Spirit to go start a New Testament church. Every New Testament church we have written in this Word of God here has been started the exact same way. Every Scripture New Testament church that's in here right now, the church at Springfield started the exact same way. Why? Because that is the only way you can have a Scripture New Testament church. Well, I just don't see that. Then get into the Word of God and figure it out, because it's not my belief, it's not your belief, it's what the Word of God says. And if we're doing it wrong, show me in the Word of God and I'll believe you. But until we do that, we go with what the Word of God says. That is the one thing that I love about this New Testament church and a Scripture New Testament church. You are not forced to believe anything that is not found in the Word of God. And even then, you can disagree with me, you can fight me, but it better be with the Word of God. And that is the truth. And understand, there are times that people are wrong. You know, Brother Roger has been wrong before. What does it always come back down to? The soul rule of faith and practice is the Word of God. Not, well, we'll do everything we want, and then if as long as it just doesn't openly contradict the Word of God. Is it the Word of God or not? If it's not the Word of God, don't worry about it. You don't need man's logic. It's God's Word. So turn to Acts. You're already in Acts. Turn to Acts chapter 11. So we see the church at Ephesus get started. We're going to see another church get started the exact same way. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. And when they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveling as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none only, but to the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church that was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. And when he came, he had seen the grace of God, and was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. How did the church at Antioch get started? There was a group of people that were prepared, and they got back to the church of Jerusalem, the only Scripture New Testament church, most likely at that, actually probably not. Anyways, the Scripture New Testament church that Jesus Christ started, and they sent out Barnabas, and through the authority of the Jerusalem church, Church of Antioch was started. Yeah. That is the same pattern that you'll see in every single church that's ever been started. Why? Because Jerusalem was given the Holy Spirit as comforter and passed it down. And church passes it down, passed down, passed down, passed down. Okay. Is lineage an important doctrine? Amen. Well, there's a lot of people who don't believe it's that important. It is a very important doctrine, because without the Spirit, the body is dead. Without a Holy Spirit as comforter, a New Testament church is dead. Okay. And there's a difference between the Holy Spirit as comforter and the Holy Spirit that you get when you are saved. There is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and there's a Holy Spirit as comforter. Understand, they are not the same thing. Same Holy Spirit, but in different office works. It is important to understand that. There's a lot of confusion about that. If you don't understand it, get into the Word of God and see the difference. Turn to John. John 15. John 15. Verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, who I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he will testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Understand, in verse 26, when the Comforter is come, these people were saved. They had the Holy Spirit as indweller. He did not have them as Holy Spirit as Comforter yet. It is a separate thing. You cannot get those confused, because if you get those confused, you will have a universal church. Understand, there is no such thing as a universal church. The church is local. We're not going to go read all the examples where it talks to Ephesus and Corinth and Thessalonica and Philippi and Philadelphia, all those churches of the New Testament or Revelation in the New Testament, where it literally says the church at. It's not the church and their affiliate church at this and this and this. No, the church at Springfield is the church at Springfield. The church at Albany is a completely separate body, not the same as us whatsoever. Understand, there's no such thing as universal church. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so is also Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into that one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If thy foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if thy ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, or again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members be honored with it. Now ye are the members of Christ, and members in particular. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Understand, these verses were written to the church at Corinth. They were a scriptural New Testament church. He is not saying that, you know, your guys are a hand over here, we got a hand over there, we got a foot over in, you know, we don't have a hand in Springfield, a foot over in Albany, and a toe in Creswell. Makes no sense. The body is right here. Why? Because it says the body is supposed to meet together. How can a universal church meet together? Well, we'll all show up at the same time. What if we decide to do something different? Well, I want to start church this time. I want to start church that. You know what that leads to? A bunch of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. So when God says it's a local New Testament church, understand that tabernacle, it was a local tabernacle. There was not a tabernacle where Israel was and then a separate tabernacle that had a part of it in, you know, Egypt and everything. Well, when it was scattered, it was not the house of God. We are the house of God when we meet with him together. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The New Testament church is local. If it is not a local if it's not a local body, understand it is not a scriptural New Testament church. Once again, God set it up this way. So we have to, you know, you will make a ton of friends, I'm sure, if you hold to these doctrines. That was a joke, if you don't get sarcasm. Understand, these are hard things to tell people. But it's either the word of God or it is not. And understand, it should not matter what men think. It should not matter, well, I believe, no. It, what does it say? Fear not men, but fear the one that can kill the body and the soul in hell. We ought to obey God rather than, turn to Acts. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 28, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Understand, if God set up the pattern, God set it up, and it is his New Testament church, we want to meet with God, we have to meet him on his terms in his New Testament church. Understand, it does not matter what you might think or feel or believe if it's not the word of God. That is the one, the most beautiful things about God is he gives you the word and says, do it or not. You know, I love the verses and you see in Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 11 and 1 Chronicles or 2 Chronicles 7, if. That word if, it's a beautiful thing. It is a free will of God if you want to serve him or not. You have to decide if you want to do it, and you cannot do it on your own terms. Yeah. It is by God's term only. Why? Because he is the creator and the God of this earth. And if we want to have fellowship with our creator, we have to do it on his terms in a scriptural, local, New Testament church. Turn to Psalm 77. Psalm 77. 13, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who so great a God as our God? Understand, God has given one way for his work to be done, and that is through a scriptural New Testament church. So we, as a scriptural New Testament church, have a job to do. Turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Whose job is it to do the work of God? Well, it's whoever's willing. No, it's the scriptural New Testament church's job. Well, you know, as long as they are hearing a little bit about Jesus, that's okay. I'll let somebody else do it because I'm just not comfortable saying it. As long as they're hearing what the Word of God says. Well, as long as, you know, No, it's scriptural New Testament church's job. Outside of a scriptural New Testament church, if God's not in it, then God's not going to be blessed of it. Mankind comes up with a lot of ideas. If we're trusting mankind to do the work of God because we don't want to, shame on us, because it is our job. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Who is that given to? Well, just a few guys here and there. No, he was given to his scriptural New Testament church to do the job. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to which that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God, for he hath made it to him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jump back to chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of the Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Who did God give the gospel to? He gave it to his church to tell the world about it. It's not everybody else's job. It's not, you know, the worship leaders and the, you know, charismatics or the, you know, great singers out there to tell these people about who God is. It is a job of a New Testament church. We like to sit here and say, well, we're a scripture New Testament church. Absolutely. With great power, about to quote Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. With the label of a scripture New Testament church that Jesus Christ started, that we are his home, it comes with a responsibility to do the job that God wants us to do. And that also means, yes, go out and preach the word. It also means to stand for the truth. Turn to Jude chapter 3. Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to be to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord and Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, with the title of a New Testament, scripture New Testament church, we like to brag and say, yeah, we're a scripture New Testament church. We're the right ones. We have God's will. And, you know, God, the Holy Spirit, he's with us at all when we meet and everything like that. And there's a bunch of religion and evil out there. Understand, if we're going to sit there and parade around that we are a scripture New Testament church, there's a responsibility to uphold what God has given to his scripture New Testament church, to hold to the truth of the doctrine. That means your opinions, your thoughts, your ideas, get them out. It's not meant to be here. It means your doctrines and your truth and what you believe and your opinion about everybody else and your right and everybody else's. No, get it out of here. There's supposed to be no divisions. If there's divisions, you are doing it wrong. Get it out. Get it taken care of. You know, we're supposed to be the bride of Christ, a chaste virgin. That's what God's desire is for us. Is that what we are as a Scripture New Testament church? Well, yeah, we're close enough. God does not want close enough. Amen. That means if there's issues, we got to get them taken care of, get them out of here. Because, you know, the second we start thinking, well, we'll last forever. Well, nothing will ever stop us. How many churches can any, there's people in here, you can name about 50 churches that one time were Scripture New Testament churches in this state that fell away. Well, what happened? They got too big on themselves. They stopped caring what God thought, and they started coming up with their own ideas. Understand, that will happen to us if we are not doing the job that God wants us to do. If we are not carrying out and taking the responsibility of a Scripture New Testament church seriously, turn to Acts 20. Verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Understand, it is a privilege and an honor to be a member of a Scriptural New Testament church. It is not a right. It is not something that you just automatically get and deserve. It is a gift and an honor of God to be a member of his New Testament church. Well, understand, that comes with a responsibility. If you want to sit here and say that I'm a church member and, you know, carry the card and say, yeah, I'm Scripture New Testament Church, we are strong, and everybody else is religion and fake, that better mean something to you. It better be real, because if it's not, what's the point? I sit there and I think about myself often and where I'm at with God and understand there have been a lot of times that I've paraded around that I'm a church member and it meant nothing to me because I was not serious about it. Church of Springfield right now, are you serious about it? Those that are saved in here and thinking about maybe I should join a Testament church, understand, it is a lifelong commitment to be a church member. It is something that needs to be taken seriously. And don't be scared of it. Understand that God has equipped you to do the job, but it is a responsibility and a privilege to do the job that God wants you to do. Do we take it seriously, or is it just something I do on the weekends? Something I do because I want the prestige, I want the title, because I feel so much better than everybody else. There's no room for that in God's work right now. You know, we read and it says there's high time to wake out of sleep for the time our salvation is nearer than it was before. There is not time for churches to start getting comfortable. There's not time for churches to start thinking they're better. It is time for the church at Springfield, to start doing our job. Yeah. Quit leaving it to everybody else because they're doing it wrong. You rely on any other church in this town, this city, this state, they're doing it wrong because they don't have the Holy Spirit as comforter. Do we? If we're going to stay here and say we do, that means we have a job to do as well. It is a responsibility and a privilege to do it. Turn to Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That duty, it's italicized. I like to read it, for this is the whole of man. The whole purpose in being is for us to give God honor and glory. Where does that happen? In a New Testament church. Where can we fulfill our whole purpose in being? By being a member of a New Testament church that is doing the job that God wants you to do. How do we get there? Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. How do you get this responsibility? How do you get this honor? You first have to be saved. Once you are saved, you get scripturally baptized. Once you are scripturally baptized, you get added to a New Testament church. And after that, you are given the duty to do the work that God has called you to do. It is an honor and a privilege, and is not something to be taken lightly. Let's all stand. Pants the song leader, come. I want you to sit here and think right now. If I'm going to say I'm a church member, am I doing the job that God has called me to do? Well, I showed up to church today. That's not enough. Church is supposed to worship and give glory and honor to God. Have we done that tonight? Well, I tell that one person that, you know, I believe in God. When was the last time you sat there and did the job of witnessing to somebody, telling about who Jesus Christ is? Are we doing the job that we're supposed to, or are we just sitting comfortably thinking it'll be okay, we'll be fine? Bible says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Is this church at ease? Are we gotten comfortable? Or do we understand what a privilege and honor it is to be a New Testament church member? What number shall we sing?